So welcome to a special edition of Classically Modern, your friendly neighborhood historical exposition, or your favorite married pair of history nerds talking about anything and everything history. I'm Amanda, the modern half of the Classically Modern duo, joined by the classicist in my life, my fabulous, legally entangled other half. Say hi, John.
Hi, John.
He does this every time. Like I said prior, this edition is a special condensed offering of our typical drivel on a topic from the annals of history for my LIS 622 class. Hi, guys. Sorry, oh classicist husband. This is my bread and butter tonight. Privacy and social media. There was, to my knowledge, no Facebook in ye old Roman Empire.
Of course there was. They just called it Liber Facies.
Where did you find that out?
Google.
Not citing his sources correctly yet again. But the modernist wins this argument. Anyhow, let's talk about a brief history of social media. John and I are both products of AOL. I got my first screen name in 1998, and I am not going to reveal it because it's kind of embarrassing. So when did you get yours, other half?
Around the same time, but I've been connecting to the internet since the early 90s, 94, 95. Connecting to AOL, connecting to CompuServe, basically whichever service I had a trial with.
Oh, those wonderful CDs. So let's face it, those were social media accounts at that point in time because you could put information about yourself out on those profiles. You sought people out based on common interests. But talking about privacy yet again, I got the speech from my parents of never let somebody know what your real name is, never let somebody know your telephone number or even where you lived because they could come and get you and... Classicist, did you have the exact same conversation with your parents?
Oh, yeah. And never before had it been so easy for a 13-year-old to go out to a public space where anybody in the world could find out about you and post so much information that could be potentially harmful.
So I think coming from that kind of a background, even though, you know, I count some of my best friends in the world on friends that I met on the internet, I'm a weirdo like that, but that's okay. I've always been very particular about what I put out there as far as social media goes. I was one of the Facebook early adopters. I got my Facebook account in 2005 when it first opened up to students at Mississippi State, where I got my first undergraduate degree. John followed me about, what, 6 months later you got yours, I think?
Sounds about right.
I adopted before you did. You got Twitter way before I did. But we've also been very particular about what kind of information we put out there, mainly because we both work with the public. I am at a university, he's at a community college. I work in a library, he works in information technology. But we also realize that the power of these social media accounts when it comes to our institutions. I administer the social media accounts for the library where I am. Because of this, I technically have unprecedented access to this information, really personal information on my patrons. Beforehand, if you pull up a Sierra file on one of your patrons, you notice all you've got, usually name, telephone number, physical address. Mine at work is even cut down to the point that it has my work address on it, not even my home address. And then the last material that you checked out. But with social media, if somebody is your follower and you follow them and they tweet about every single book that they check out, you have this history on this person. And John comes at it from kind of a different point of view than I do because since he works on the website, he's used to the forward-facing view of things. And we've talked about, just between the two of us before, about how you have to be very particular about your social media presence when it comes to professionalism on the college level. I clear everything that I post as my social media self at work, aka at Ramsey Library, through my boss because she was the original administrator on it and we're very particular about what we put out there. Let me give you an example. There is a popular blogger in Asheville called What Should Asheville Call Me? It's a Tumblr. The person is completely anonymous. My boss actually knows who they are because she's really active in the Asheville event planning scene and this person wanted unprecedented access to one of her events, but she's sworn to secrecy kind of thing. But this person attempted to potentially start a flame war with us. We had posted reminding students that we have extended hours during exams. This person is apparently an alumni, posted back, what, you still don't have 24-hour access? Brandy and I, my boss, actually sat down and had a meeting on how to craft an answer to this person, ran it by our university librarian, and it took us about 3 hours to craft a response to it. But going back to privacy issues, this is our forward-facing view. We have to be careful about what we post. And John and I, like I said, have talked before about how he has to be careful about what even goes out on their website, because really a website is a tool of social media because that's where people to go to get information. He has to proofread everything before it goes out on the website because
anything that is said on the website or social media or anywhere, you have to assume is going to be publicly consumed, even if you have safeguards on your social network, Twitter, Facebook. It's safe to presume that that information could potentially be revealed in some way through a data breach or, as we've recently found out, the government's capacity to go in to data centers at Facebook and Google and gather information. For us, it's very important to know what people are saying about our school. Social media is a tool to listen as well as to communicate out. We, of course, post news stories and events and heads up on events that are happening in the near future in the community. But we also listen to what people say. And if you don't have the right safeguards, if you post something about us, it's very easy for us to find it. That has far-reaching implications for whoever is posting it, depending on what it says. I've read how many stories, dozens of stories in the past few years, talking about people who say the wrong things on social media, thinking that it's safe, but not realizing how easy it is for the wrong people to hear what you're trying to say.
Exactly. I actually have the ability to track anytime somebody mentions about Ramsey Library at work. I have a notification set up on Twitter that way, so I'm able to head off both problems as they occur, but then be able to respond positively to students as things occur, saying, you know, oh, thanks for thinking of us. I talked to one of my contacts over in our marketing office, and they do the exact same thing. So looking forward, I think social media is going to be a very important tool moving forward as information agencies go, because now you see social media wherever you go. Next time you open Spotify, look at it. It's actually a social media platform as well, because you can see what other people are listening to. You can share music. So social media is entrenching on everything we do. So to give you a thought for next time we meet, reflect upon what you do on your own social media accounts and think, do I want this to reflect me 100 years from now? Because let's face it, people, social media is the modern newspaper. This is Amanda
and John
of Classically Modern bidding you until next time, happy writing and happy reading.